1-800-839-5732. They will keep counting pledges during the opening minutes of the next hour. 1-800-HEY-KPFA. Stay tuned for a special team-up broadcast between Herbal Highway and Visionary Activist.
Hello, this is Karen Sanders, and as you just heard, Caroline and I are doing a co-hosted show, so we're just going to go for 2 hours, the Herbal Highway and the Visionary Activist show, so you could call it, I guess, the Herbal Activist or the Visionary Highway or however you want to roll that around in your head. But we're here to talk about a lot of things that we are excited about. Caroline, hello.
Woof, woof. Yay. It's working. It's working. Yay.
It's working. So we're, like I said, we're co-hosting. So, you know, Caroline, you and I were talking, you know, of course, we were talking about the show, you know, in these times, to put it my way, you'll have how we get back into past or how we get past humanism. And back into collective consciousness again.
Yes, right. As I often say, let the hubris of humanism be compost for the truth of animism. Cooperate with everything. And part of our shared dedication spiraling out to everybody's heart is may our species have manners again. Or maybe, yeah. I don't know if we... Yeah, I think again is okay to say, right? We go again. Yes. Right, which is a Venusian quality of intimacy, and magic is a willingness to cahoot with everything. There we go. So, yeah, respect and manners. Because as we were speaking backstage, and we're all backstage, it's part of radio magic. We're invisible to each other. You know, it's spirit world, and so it is that that model of spiraling out radio magic, you know, to everybody going, oh... And even because we are in Fun Drive and we love that, we want to make that magic too. So because, you know, where I'll toss the baton back to you because you're so good on doing the work and doing the Saturn and embodying the thing. And we were speaking backstage, the green room, you know, about our pledges, our inner vows. And we go, right, mm-hmm. Well, magic is literalized metaphor. So we want to make pledges to ourself. And then pledges to the station for this kind of collaborative cahooting and information that is really only here. But I love, you know, probably you have this too, but people always say, you know, you're speaking what I'm thinking, right? So we want that outer voice of what, you know, our inner coherent team.
Yeah, and also just, you know, this time and place, which is, you know, every time and place is unique, but... We're kind of in a time frame here, you know, of we have so much time to turn something around. And I think, you know, you hit on it. It's about the heart and the intellect finding each other in a balanced state. You know, I think it's been out of balance for a while. And how do we do that? And how do we understand that? You know, I think so many people feel disengaged or almost like they don't know what they have to offer, which is, you know, everyone has a gift. Every being has something unique. And how do we get people sparked up back into that? You know, where does that connect? Where does the healing start with that?
Right. And as we were saying backstage, you know, it's like if we know what we're dedicated to, our inner manifesto of dedicated devotion, excellent. Let's make an altar, write it down, you know, do manifest things. And if we don't know, the incredibly kind backstage divine says, well, then just wonder. You know, we wonder what our dedicated, you know, contribution to the whole team is. We wonder, because wonder is a wonderful magnetic. It's this call and response, right, that we so like. And time, yes, time. So I've been kind of honing lately that the science report on, you know, time for humans to ameliorate some of the climate chaos, complicitous climate chaos we've been invoking on all our kin. So that paper says 12 years. Astrology says 7, just Ooh. As a metaphor, because Uranus, nature's evolutionary genius that loves against all odds, trickster, coyote, raven, seeds that sprout after cataclysm, intelligence, enters Taurus on Ash Wednesday, we'll use everything, on March 6th until April 27th, 2026. And so for me, that's the time of what I call democratic animism, but for everybody to put in place these, you know, these models of wise governance that are dedicated to collective well-being and the biomimicry and the ingenious, and that humans humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius, and they go, we'll give you 7 years. And we go, that's a lot and a little. So does, you know, in our beautiful show right now, you know, Mercury's overhead at 27 Pisces, which is, you know, nature feeling all particularly alive, and that hums us all the way to May 18th, 19th, which is the Buddha's full moon, when at 27 degrees of Taurus, 27 Scorpio, which is about, you know, calling in our collaborative power. So it's all wow. kind of resonant, but we go, yes.
It's just, you know, and I know people are, because I hear this a lot. So I know people are listening right now and going, well, how am I supposed to do that, you know? So I'm going to tell you something that, and then Caroline's going to, there is a medicine out there, wolf medicines.
Mm.
And the wolf people, you know, are the keepers of the sacred. They're the teachers. They're in charge of family and community, cohesion. And so there's one that I love called, it's wolfberry, which it's not the juju. This is the American wolfberry. It's not juju berry that everybody's like, oh, fancy raisins. And we're talking about small doses. We're talking about taking small amounts because that goes right to the spirit, which is where everything starts, you know. In our way, everything starts in spirit and everything ends in spirit. So when you take these small amounts, they go straight to the spirit, which is the biggest part of us.
Huh.
So yeah, so wolfberry is amazing for that, for standing in one's power and being able to recognize what is in the way of full potential of self. You know, how much of my history am I living and how much of my decision is coming from the here and now? So that's something to think about.
But you're saying it's not goji berry.
No, it's the American version. There's an American wolfberry. There's an American, you know, so it's the American version of that. And, go ahead.
Because I love what you were saying, again, in our green room backstage. You know, talking about microdosing, and you said we can microdose everything, and you brought up, you know, black cohosh, and I go, oh, and what you just said also is we underline this, and everybody feel that we all have our magic backpack, and if there are things that resonate or are drawn forth, you know, and everyone, you know, or that you like, you know, put it in your magic backpack. So small doses feed the spirit. I'm like, oh, that's so un-American. That's so un-American, which is like, the gorge theory of pleasure. The whole cake.
Yeah.
And you go, right, small doses. And so Mike, let me hand it back to you, to and fro baton, you know, the microdosing of everything.
Of everything, you know, of everything. Especially, you know, I deal with the plant world. Well, I deal with a lot of the world, the spirit world, but the smaller the dose, the more it engages the spiritual, the emotional. The physical is when you're in the higher doses, but they also come through in the smaller. But what happens is, I would say 80% of the plants want, what they want to give us is that spiritual, emotional quality, because they know that's where everything starts and finishes. And so these small doses open that up. You know, people don't realize that the things they're looking for in psychotropics, all the plants carry. It's just, how do you take them and what's your intention? You know, what do you want opened?
Right. Yeah, and that was also kind of connected to our microbiome, right? And the work being done by a number of people, which, and science guy saying when he moves around the world, he always makes it a point to go to what he feels to be sacred sites, the sacred forest, because then the forest moves into our microbiome. It's part of our intimacy, you know, and we go, oh, that's so great, you know, that wherever we go, we're incorporating it into our gut. And we go, that's great. And because when we were talking about entheogens, you also said, well, people often, they get to the door and then they don't go through the door. They set up a little tea party or have a picnic outside the door. And you said it takes guts to go through the door, right? I love that.
Yeah, it does. It's scary, you know, going down in those places that have scared us or harmed us or like, what is that? You know, that's frightening. And to say, not only am I witnessing something, but I'm going to walk through it and figure out how to remanage this. You know, how am I going to change the pattern? And yeah, that's, I think that's very courageous.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to accept, oh, I have to do some work here.
Yeah. Right. And that is part of your medicine that you resonate in all of us, going, do the work, make the internal dedication, because part of the cooperators are standing by and in our beautiful launch chart, and for people just tuning in, it's Karen Sanders, host of the Herbal Highway, and Caroline Casey, Weaver of Context, or the Visionary Activist Show, and we're doing a collaborative cahoot, 2 hours, you know, of combining that, and we love that. So our inner dedication, so the chart as we start off has these beautiful patterns where we are pattern tracking beings. So the sun right now is at 9 degrees of Pisces, whose image is aviator, master of the high realm, sails across the sky, setting in motion projects that will benefit the next 7 generations. And we go, that's lovely. And then it has a beautiful 60-degree collaborative woof-woof angle to Mars at 9 degrees of Taurus, which is a Red Cross nurse, the willingness to go into difficult situations to protect all those in harm or danger. That's part of our dedication. And then that sextiles the rising sign of 9 Cancer, which is feeling what's needed and responding. And then that gets to the dwarf planet Ceres Demeter at 9 degrees Sagittarius, which is a, you know, goddess of opportunity, spirals gracefully into the air. And so we have 9, 9, 9, 9. We go, we love that. We don't necessarily fully know what it is, but it's beautiful. Beautiful. And you know, we're drawn to guiding symmetry, so we love that part. And then just for the fun of it, you know, there's an astrological term, mutual reception. It's when one planet is in another sign's house and that planet's in the other sign's house. And so I love what we're doing. It's Karen and Caroline in mutual reception. We're each in each other's show realm. Monkey and dragon. There we go. And I put that, you know, it's part of our love of animism and composting humanism, that terrible mistake of humans as special, as, you know, it's sort of like American exceptionalism, human exceptionalism, that we may all move from the Anthropocene, which is humans with bad manners destroying life, to the Symbiocene, which is collaborative mutual aid, symbiosis, reciprocal blessing, and working treaties and alliances. And I think that's part of our shared love of whatever we dedicate to is willing to cahoot with us. And that's why it's making our kind of wheel and deal. I like saying it's wheel and deal time with all beings, bartering backstage for onstage miracles, going, all right, if we do this, then how about that? No? Okay. I like, you know, we all get to customize the divine so it feels, you know, intimate to us. So I really like seeing the divine as a dangerous, in a good way, coyote bowing down before each one of us, going, woof, woof, yip, yip, want to play? And we go, yeah, we do. We do. We're up for that. But like with the coyote, you know, may she be praised, all of our ancestors, Stella Coyote, with whom I lived for 19 years, 2 months and 2 weeks. But she taught me a lot, you know, and may all of our relationships be ones of reciprocal blessing and evolutionary advantage. So we were really tight. But she taught me about bartering backstage, because dogs know shame. Coyotes, no. You know, what are you offering me for this? You know, and very often it didn't need to be spoken, just putting our foreheads together, going, all right, how about this? How about that? And just to emphasize that, I've been working with some people who are in difficult circumstances, and I said, well, make a pledge, make a wheel and deal backstage, just experiment. And they do, and they go, all right, if you get me out of this and into this situation, then I will do this. And then when they were saved, they forgot. And they were like, well, that was just a make-believe. And then they got trashed. And it's like, no, you got to keep it, right? I mean, this is part of your, ardency, going, you got to keep the deal. It's not just, it's a real thing.
Well, because everything that is without is within, And Coyote, as you talked about, Coyote is the trickster, but Coyote is also the person that brings things, brought fire, brought life, brought the sun. And the thing about Coyote is Coyote's like, I'm always going to be wiggling around seeing what I can get the advantage of. But man, Coyote will slap you down when they know you're being, and wolves are like that. The second you're inauthentic, they will smack you,
Yeah.
And so I think it's about, it's about if we're going to make these, for me, it starts with making that bargain with yourself, acknowledging that no matter what's been done or said to you, you came here as a gift from Creator or wherever you believe that is. It doesn't matter. And that we have something and everybody counts. Every being counts. It's not just humans. Every being. And how to get back to where we're all like in equality with each other. How we all are like, hey, the wind is talking to me. Let me take the time to hear it.
And the water. And the flooding in Sonoma. Hello, Sonoma. And with a great ally. He was out of town when his neighborhood was flooding and got, daunting photos from his neighbor. And I go, all right, it's wheel and deal. It's barter backstage for onstage miracles. Yeah. What are you willing to do for water? What are we willing, as an experiment, not a presumption? And he goes, well, I am at this conference where they're working on saving water and cleaning it and where, corporations, everything that they make comes back to them and there's no waste. And so there's no, toxic effluent. And I go, all right, we'll put that on the table. He's like, all right, I will. And then he got back and his house was dry. And I go, remember your pledge. Remember your pledge. And he's like, I forgot what it was. No, there we go. So we're tossing a line into the invisible mysterious, and you can feel a tug like, oh, it's accepted. And that's part of the kind of Taurus-Scorpio dynamic that we're all entering into, which is this line between the backstage invisible kind of and the onstage incarnational sensual, and that dedicated acts of beauty and pledges, invite power into the world. So we don't source power, we magnetize it, we invite it by what we say, do, but especially the dedication really invites power into the world to animate the template that we've proffered. And that's part of our conversation about, let's go backwards in human history to go, where did we go wrong that's resulting in all of this monstrosity that feeds on cruelty and that's missing the whole point of life. And I do go, I like going back to the radio guest saying 4,000 years ago, the Greeks ditched all of their animal deities for humans. I go, we might want to revisit that,
Well, and then you look at, the ones that haven't, everybody at one time, every culture out there at one time was connected. I mean, there used to be one language that all beings spoke, the animals, the trees, the humans, everybody spoke the same language. And there are people that haven't stopped that, so that's never been broken. So I think it's not that far to find, because all you have to do is hook into all over the world the people that have been walking that, since the get-go, and saying, okay, how do I figure this out? What am I doing wrong here, And how do we connect with that?
Right. And also, how do we track everything back, every kerfuffly thing back to its original liberating spark impulse and track it back and align with that? So even in small and large ways, I was rummaging through Facebook Messenger. I hardly ever go there. Sorry, people who sent me things in 2011. I'm getting back to you now. But somebody had posted a great thing on their my shared, kind of grumpiness at the movie Wonder Woman, going, oh, Wonder Woman, she just uses all this violent stuff. What is that? And the young women in the theater just look kind of assaulted and bewildered. But he said Wonder Woman's one of her primary, she had 13 powers that were not violent. And one of them was multilingualism. She could speak and understand all language. And I go, I'll just bring that thing back. All right, anyway, so I just wanted to put that thing in. But Wolf, and what I remember, you know, we journey through life and we're all, you know, our inner council is comprised of all beings and quotes and people that we love who are living and not. And I loved hosting this wonderful Turkish author, Güneli Gün, who wrote a fabulous book, On the Road to Baghdad, with Scheherazade as a character. But just as we're going out, in the last minute of the show, she said, you know, in pre-Abrahamic religious Middle East, the predominant deity was She-Wolf. I'm like, really? And she said, yes, throughout the entire Middle East was an azure-blue flag emblazoned with a female alpha wolf's head on it. And I'm like, well, let's bring her back. And when I was in Syria, when before it was all completely crazy, although we have many friends who are there and doing okay, people said, yes, it stirred, right? They go, yeah, I think it's a folktale. Right. I think and so this idea of guiding myths that then get kind of hidden but transported in folk tales that we then want to excavate, going, right, the animistic kinship of the Middle East before the Abrahamic religions. Let's go further back. Our nearest exit may be behind us. Let's go further back. And because the other thing that I like wondering about, going, when did humans make the underworld a bad place? Like, oh, and I go, I think it's when we got priesthoods. Or what's pertinent to us is anything that derives status from inducing fear, right? And that's really a kind of a priesthood thing. And we go, ooh, maybe we want to go back and dissolve priesthoods and dissolve, because you were entertaining the conundrum going, you know, we're not saving nature, we are nature, but even that is too isolated, too separate, you know. So how do you... And you said even the word animism is still not quite perfect, but how do we address ourselves as everything, you know, in your mind? What is that?
Well, I think, you know, if someone could understand that there is no separation because we're just light and vibration, basically we're just energy. So anything that you're looking out towards, what you think you're looking out towards, is moving into you at the same time. So it's all connected, you know. Everything you see out is within. And I think that's it. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, how do we refine these myths? It's like, you know, once you get the foot off the throat, it doesn't take long to find it. But, you know, but there's a beautiful essence, a whale essence. And I know Jane Bothwell makes one. Not Bothwell. Jane Bell. Sorry, Jane Bell. She makes an essence from whale, and a friend of mine made one from a bone that she actually used. And what that does is, you're saying, how do we feel this? It makes you feel the vastness. Like when you take that, not only do you feel this huge amount of love for everything, but I've had students who, like, now I get what you mean when you talk about vastness, like how big everything is and how, you know, even if it's teeny. And that does that. And when you feel that, you can feel everything in it, including you realize it's coming through you. You know, it's not something out there to seek. So I would highly encourage people just, you know, to take some whale, like in one drop. Ooh. I'm talking about one drop, you know.
Ooh. And that is sort of a essence. So that's like a little homeopathic medicine brewed from a whale.
It's not homeopathic. It's, I don't know how Jane made hers. I have a friend who, I have a bunch, that she made it. She was gifted a whale bone years ago. And then the whale kind of said, hey, you need to make an essence of me. And basically told her. Mm. And then didn't. And then so she, and listen, this is a person who's in her 70s being told in the middle of winter in, you know, Rhode Island, hey, go down this cliff and get up near the sea. And, you know, and she did it. And then she said, but what it wants now is actually a piece of itself. So I sent, because she had given me the whalebone, I sent a little piece that was ready to fall off back to her. And she made it from that with the, you know, guidance.
Oh.
And let me tell you, I've taken that, and it is pretty amazing. And, I mean,
well, it's very fun to think of, because you were talking about ayahuasca heads, right? Or people who keep doing it and not changing. And we go, well, imagine people gathering, and you know, and they wouldn't have to pay $1 billion and sit with whale essence, going,
Oh,
I mean, just many ways to revision. I love that, and it's like I have jars full of coyote hair, and I have a piece of a whale, and this is all. Yeah, so everything around us, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we go, but it's also part of, you know, the coyote, you know, destroyer and creator. You know, Stella Coyote destroyed everything, but because I was granted backstage to Coyote World, she made incredibly beautiful, artful things. She arranged things and lined her den with an archway of stones. She created, you know, flying buttresses and cathedrals and, you know, and made spider web art out of yarn and, I mean, and all of that.
Yeah.
And it's like Anubis in Egyptian mythology is the guide to the underworld. Dum, 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 dum. But... right, we're remembering what's been forgotten. But he has a twin brother who's the guide out of the underworld. We go, well, let's bring him back too. So we want the to and fro, the destroyer and the creator, in this mix. But you know, the whale essence and vastness, and that's great because Neptune chimes in and says, we recommend everybody to have a daily dose of vastness. Like,
yeah. Well, to understand, like, okay, this just has no end, you know? but also I think, you know, like in Native culture, the going down in, like the color black to us, which is often in the West for many, many nations, represents the truth. And so it's about going down in is where you see the truth and then you come back out into the more light to kind of engage it now. You know, it's like, okay, I got the answers. I got it. Now I come back out here and I engage it. And that's the thing. It's like not being afraid of something, but realizing if I engage it, it can turn. You know, everything moves. Nothing. The only thing that harms us is the things that stay static because energy has to move. So even if we're terrified of something or afraid, if we engage with it and come forward and do something, that leaves us the fear. And then we see like, oh, it can be looked at in a different way, you know? And I think we're in those times of how do we look at things differently? What's here isn't working, you know? And how do we do that? Not just for these times, but and for the world. You know, how do we get this on for the world? And I think that's the other thing is once you feel the vastness, once you feel the connection, you start to realize everything is about outward movement. You know, it's like self, family, community, all, you know, those are the concentric circles. So
right. And that we're all in this dream together, which is why I'm so interested in the theme right now of, you know, shadow redemption in the underworld in many, many ways. You know, my ally who's a forensic psychiatrist whose job is to go into horrific crime scenes to maintain curiosity and kinship with the perpetrator because she says it's all part of a public dream. There is no strictly personal crime. Pressure comes down, erupts through the thinnest membrane, you know, but it's all speaking to us. Children who kill their mothers, she says, well, we are killing our mother, and that, you know, into that world of, you know, kinship and redemption, which is a good medicine brew, you know, of underworld. And just for the fun of it, we have Michael Cohen yesterday for the fun of it. We don't know, but Uranus is making a grand trine in his chart. We go, all right, lad, you know, sure, step up. And, you know, the Republicans are mad that you're no longer lying for Trump, right? And we go, but I loved the, you know, everything speaking to us by whatever language we cultivate, you know, is how the great vastness will speak to us. So I love the astrological language, so it speaks to me that way, but everybody's customized. But so yesterday when I was tapping into Michael Cohen's testimony, the moon in the sky was at 22 plus Sagittarius, whose Sabian symbol is the crown and torch of the Statue of Liberty, the necessity to defend democracy from tyranny. And I go, all right, the mystery play is unfolding. You know, cooperators are standing by. You know, good for you, lad. Because I think part of our, you know, our good-hearted team's grumpiness is like, no, he's a crook, he's terrible. We want to discourage the bad, encourage the good. Here we go, over here. There we go. This is what we're going. There you, a good little, you know. So let's have critique, but not vitriolic critique, and that's sort of where we want to go into the composting that we are spiraling. I want to throw this back to you, so that we are dedicated. Here's our dedication to being agents of ever expanding cool response in a hot, reactive world, and that takes practice. Your Saturn honoring, got to do the work, and because even speaking about Discord really gets people going. But I love that there was a post I put on Bannon as the demonic agent of strident vitriolic discord, and some people got, or actually no, just one person got possessed. Everybody, but I loved and I go, yes, even mentioning it is dodgy. But I want to honor colleague Micah Nilsson from Alchemy, and she posted this great thing, the antidote. She said, in alchemy, vitriol is a word puzzle, V-I-T-R-I-O-L. She says it stands for visita interiora terrae rectificando invenies occultum lapidem, or visit the interior of the earth to purify and find the hidden stone. And she says, this motto was created by the 15th century alchemist Basil Valentine, and besides being a literal mineral work reference, it also refers to diving deep within to our darkest place to confront our own most caustic aspects and then using them for spiritual purification. I go, oh, that's great. You can work on that forever.
Yeah, it's called look at your stuff, you know.
right. Yeah, and honoring, complicity. How are we complicitous in this big large dream, and that's why I also love the teammates I know who are dedicated to Ho'oponopono, which is, heal the world by healing that within us, as a dedication. When we see something, rather than finger wag and go, that's not me, that's a bad neoliberal, right? I'd like to throw that word into the cauldron for arrest. That's a bad neoliberal. And we go, but let's experiment with, is there any part of that in me? In case there is, what would be the antidote, the brewing, the tracking? Well, I think that's why I'm so interested, in tracking everything back to its originating liberating impulse before it got bamboozled, hoodwinked, frightened, priesthooded, orthodox, going, there we go. So when we see something sketchy in ourselves or others, we go, what did that want to be, before? And it's from an old anarchist tape out of Berkeley, I think, in the 70s that was really good that way. They said, cars, an internal combustion engine, a no longer appropriate expression of a perfectly pure desire for transportation, cook it back and liberate it and reimagine it. And they said, pornography, a twisted, imprisoned expression of a perfectly pure desire for eros and exoticism, track it back and liberate it, right? And that's part of us as,
Well, I think, from my perspective, it all goes back to, this track it. But honestly, I think it goes back to fear. And as soon as people are led with fear, because we all have it at different times, once you're led with fear, then you kind of go, oh, I need power, I need this, but it's out of balance power, right? Because you feel like I'm scared, so I need something bigger. I need to be, and I think if we could back fear off, because when people are relating without fear, there is constant connection, and that's all we're seeing now. We're seeing fear. We're seeing these people, especially in this country and office, who are so fear-based, and they bring it out in everyone else if they can, so they can keep what they have. And I think that's it, is just going, okay, if we can recognize that, we get scared at moments, if we can deal with that, if we can sit with that, sit with pain, but understand everyone has it, I think that's where it started. I really do. And I think so much of what needs to be done is to take the fear out of the mix, meaning how do we heal that, you know?
Right.
How do we heal the...
Well, again, cooperators are standing by, but yeah, and you know what I often do, you know, working with my own and other people's charts and tracking the entire history of kind of connected people in an ancient tradition, and then what happened to that, and how we can think of our parents as our parents, but also as research projects going, what happened here, and the distinction between power, which we don't source, but we invite throughout time, all the way back to every death and resurrection show, and the modern toxic mimic is control or dominance. And so the modern world has mistaken dominance and control for power. We go, no, dominance and control are the toxic mimic of power. And that model, you know, I go, you know, did we encourage your mother to feel tapped in, you know, and calling in power like the cave paintings? We go, maybe not. And so compensatory, I want to throw this theme to you too, compensatory. So as a compensation, if one doesn't feel tapped into power, one becomes controlling. It's kind of what you were saying. You know, I go, is your mother controlling? And they're like, boy, howdy.
Yeah.
And that's, the amygdala portion of our brain, which is scanning for fear, threat, and therefore the most manipulatable. And that's what we want to do, you know, to... And I know that I'm currently a more practicing entheo enthusiast than yourself, because you're like, I'm doing the work and I had enough of that, you know. But I do love the sacred teachings of Star Trek when in the original series when the spirit of that feeds on fear, that was Jack the Ripper, and it takes over the ship, right? And it feeds on fear. Yeah. So Captain Kirk gets everybody stoned. Right, and so when the takes over and it's like you're all gonna die, everybody goes, this guy sure is gloomy. Whoa. And they just suck all the chi out of the fear being, and we go, I love that. Okay. So I love that, you know. And then the amygdala and the psilocybe mushrooms, which are allies chiming in for us, because one of their things is they calm down the amygdala. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, with a daily dose of vastness, and increased cooperation. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and Teasel does that too, you know. There's tuning in, Teasel, you're listening to the Herbal Highway and the Visionary Activist Show combined in, and this is Caroline Casey and Karen Sanders just doing a show together, and there's a plant called Teasel, which is great for that, because it hits into fear. So one of the things it does is it lets you have clear insight into the kind of the crap of your stuff, you know, and that the falsities of yourself you've accepted, which is often what makes us fearful, because we're believing things that are negative, that aren't real. And Teasel takes that out so that you can kind of go, I can come from a place of, I kind of know truth in here, so I don't have to be so fearful or so upset. And it does make a beautiful feeling in there. So
Where does it grow, and how do we find it, and how do you spell it?
Teasel grows everywhere. T-E-A, you're asking me how to spell something. I believe it's T-E-A-S-E-L, maybe? S-S, okay,
well,
like in Sarah.
That's phonetic spelling. It won't mind. So it grows everywhere. That's
it grows everywhere. That's kind of like, you'll see it. It's wonderful because it's a plant that's not picky. You'll find it near water a lot. You'll find it in dry areas. They used to be used to comb people's hairs, the top, you know, the seed heads, after they dried, and which is interesting, pick the knots out, which is kind of what the plant does to your psyche.
Yeah.
You
it's
know,
all witty.
It picks the knot. Yeah, it picks the knot out. So it's easy. You use the root.
Okay.
And you can take, when you're taking teas, which I think is the preferable way to do herbs, we're talking about taking like a little sip, you know, not a big old cup, but you know, when you're doing spirit stuff, you take a sip. It's plenty. It's way plenty. It's about how to have something come in you without it kind of slapping you into place. You know, it's a more like gentle, yeah, there it is. So I also want to remind people that this is good girl's bringing it back.
Yeah.
I don't get called that a lot, so I'll take it. This is a, what do you call that, fundraiser.
It's a fund drive. There we go. Right, internal pledge being magnetized into outer pledge. It's all magic. There we go.
Yeah, and so we're asking you to pledge so that you can have a, basically a radio station isn't beholden to any sponsors and allows people to say the things that need to be said. And so if you feel like putting some money in, it's 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732. Or you can go on computer to kpfa.org, www.kpfa.org. And I say this because there are not many stations left in the country that are listener-sponsored. And that is a real truth there. And you see the difference in a station that is and isn't, let me tell you. So I'm asking you to pledge to KPFA if you like shows like The Herbal Highway or The Visionary Activist. And you can do it in this way now where you can set it up. I guess you can go online and set it up or call them and say, I'm going to give like $150 a year and just take it out every month, you know, or I'm going to give $1,000 a year, whatever it is. And then it's kind of off your hat to remember. So that's another way to think about it, because this is the material part of spiritualism, you know. It has to have a function. It has to have a place, you know. When you use any spiritual practice, there's going to be material stuff being used. You know, we're going to make smoke. We're going to do this. So as far as a radio station is concerned, this is the material part of the spiritualness of a station. And I think it's also public responsibility of, how do I keep this going for people out there that maybe they can't do this? You know, they don't have that right now to give. And so I always think about when you pledge the things, it's like you're pledging for the community and, you know, the greater community, because with the internet, it goes out really far. So there you have it.
Right. And also I think, I didn't want to step on your announcing the number, 1-800-439-5732. And yeah, pledge for those who can't, as Karen says. I hear from a lot of listeners in prison, may you all be free, for them. A lot of people in isolated places going, I'm the only hip woman on a military base, thank you for the show, you know, and to you, you know, and people say, my dog loves your show, and we got a pledge for the dogs, and homeless people. I'm so happy that I've had so many homeless listeners, and may they be home full soon, but we go, you know, pledge for that, and let me say what we are offering: enticements. It's a little bit long, but kind of fun and worthy. We have the Woofy Women Earth Allies Visionary Activist Radio Collection with a special 2019 Imbolc Candlemas Trickster Celebration by Micah Nilsson that was not available. It's not from the archives. It's from the Trickster Training. It's really a fabulous collection, and just briefly, it's for a pledge of $100, and we're doing downloads only, no plastic CDs, because we don't need that. We don't need plastic CDs. And it starts with Micah Nilsson, Trickster Council. It's really fabulous. She's like a colleague of ours and of Karen's. She really knows. She's the only one of the few people I know that the word alchemy, she's earned that. And we go, that's really great. And she goes into great tinctures and how, and also when the goddesses return, start trekking up from the underworld, they're being led by dandelion. They hold dandelion up, and that illumines their path. And I go, that's great, and let dandelions bloom in everybody's yard because it's so good for the bees. So we have Micah Nilsson and Diana Beresford Kroger on trees. She's a hoot. And then we also have Ellen LaConte, Electing the Earth, and Faith Spotted Eagle, Great Native, Violations of Nature's Living Intelligence, and The Antidote. Jane Fonda, a really great show I did in 07, where she gets to be quite magic. Mary Waldner, you know, Ally Etiquette, Aikido, and the Mystic Marketplace. Nora Jameson, Coyote Goat, Maven, Redemption via Grief and Kinship, really great. Penny Livingston Stark on Being the Bomb, Permaculture. So that whole thing can be yours as a download for $100. And then, It's an embarrassment of riches. Offering another one, the Myth and Mushroom Collection, featuring Paul Stamets and James Hillman. So it's the very first show. It's a short show. It's a great show from September 5th, 1996, the first ever Visionary Activist show in which I hosted, you know, consciousness artist James Hillman. It's a great show. I listened to it going, wow, that is really good. And then Paul Stamets on the Visionary Activist show back to 2005, his first time on the air. He used to stutter before he was famous. He doesn't stutter on that show. We got him through it. And then an October 08 thing with Stamets, and then a private conversation that I recorded with Paul Stamets in 2014. And then I think we're the only ones who have this. Paul Stamets' maybe greatest talk ever that he gave at the Symbiosis Eclipse Festival in 2017. And all of that also can be yours for a pledge of $100 by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, or pledging online, kpfa.org, because a lot of listeners on the web. Hi there. Hello, everybody.
Yeah. And I want to I want to say this about Caroline. Micah is from a company that makes, it's called Alchemy, A-L-K-E-M-I. And they make astounding essences and tinctures. I helped proof their oil of pearl, where they literally used alchemy to pull oil out of pearl.
Ooh, what does
you
it do?
Talk
what
about?
Does it do?
Okay, it completely connects you to everything. What I found is, you talk about the vastness, but just connection to everything. I literally, when I took it, I could feel the tides rising in me. You know, almost in sync with the ocean. And she goes, oh, wow, yeah, I thought, you know, some one of the Taoists said that. And so it really sinks you into basically connection to all in this beautifully calm way, though. And if you're very fiery, I took it with people, two of them who were, one is very earthy, one was very fiery. And at first they were like, oh, this is freaking me out. You know, it was too much water energy. But, you know, 20 minutes in, they were like, man, this is great. So, you know, it's just a matter of, oh, I'm not used to that, you know.
Right. And I was just going to say that, you know, radio is magic. It's part of why we love it. And Karen Saunders and I have been on KPFA for 23 years. Oh, my God. But it is, you know, all of radio is microdosing. So even when you hear Karen give voice to the oil of pearl and you can feel the tides rising and connection to all, we're all getting a little microdose of that right now going, oh, I feel much better.
And oh, so, I know, right?
Yeah, it's great.
And I think Paul Stamets, who you mentioned, who is a mushroom guy, and he's very good at it. A lot of, you know, I think what I love about Paul is we talked about everybody counts and nobody gets dismissed. No matter what you've done, you have the right to change. And Paul is an amazing example of that. He was a logger, and he was the guy who got dropped in by helicopter to take old growth trees out. So he did that for a while, and then he got a consciousness shift. You know, don't give up on anyone. And now he's doing astounding work to bring back land that has been harmed and made toxic and been clear-cut with mycelium, with the mushrooms, because they create regrowth so quickly. So there's an example of, you know, don't give up on people, because he went from over there to over here.
No, that's right. No, shadow redemption. Let may we all put in our magic backpack irresistible eloquence to invite the best of everybody to come play. No, that's really great. Yeah, everybody counts. Well, you have a wonderful elephant story about how all creatures have a purpose, right?
Oh, yeah. The number, if you please pledge, because it's what keeps KPFA on the air, so I will add a please. 1-800-439-5732 or www.kpfa.org. And we're going to get back to the show in probably about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, four.
Mm-hmm. Good. We'll get back to elephants. Okay.
You will get back. I don't remember where I heard this, whether I read this or it was told to me, but I know it's a true story. There was an elephant rescue place, which they have a couple. There's one in Tennessee, I think Texas, Arkansas. And one of the elephants was foundering. It was dying, and they literally could not figure it out. They had done everything they knew. They brought in every vet they knew, every zoo person, and this elephant was just not making it. And So one of the people who work there said, hey, I know about an animal communicator, which, of course, they rolled their eyes all the way back and back forward. And they thought, well, we have nothing to lose because at this point, this elephant is going. And so they brought this woman in and she talked to the elephant. And what the elephant told her is our purpose, because we all have a purpose. And our purpose on this planet is to hold the Earth in its axis, in its proper rotation. And so that's what the elephants do. And it takes five of us or more, but it has to be five. And they do a certain chant. So it has a certain hum and vibration to it. And that hum and vibration is what's keeping the Earth on its axis. So they were like, yeah, whatever. They kind of blew it off. But then they had four elephants there at the time. That was the fourth elephant. Something happened where someone that elephant was still alive, brought in another elephant. They said, can you take a quick rescue? So they said, yes, bring it in. Well, they have to keep them apart for a couple of weeks just to see if they'll get along. And they put them together and they came out in the morning and these five elephants were standing in this clear configuration, clearly doing what they do, which is that, you know, they couldn't hear them because a lot of elephants, it's beyond our hearing. You know, their tone is beyond our hearing. And that elephant came back completely healthy and thrived. And I remember one of the things that was told to that woman is the elephant said, you need to understand this. When you kill the last elephant on this planet, when you kill the last of us, you will spin off the Earth will spin off its axis. So, you know, everything has a purpose. And you can believe that you can communicate with other beings, or you cannot believe that. But why would we only be able to communicate with each other? That doesn't even make sense.
No, that we know that's not true. We know it's deep inside all of us, and that's also my ally friend Eclipse, who was sleeping in Rhode Island, and this elephant came to her in her dream. We're open to that. And it was an elephant in the Pawtucket Zoo that had been chained alone for 30 years in a tiny thing. And the elephant came to her in the dream and said, help me. So she went and visited the thing because it was real. You know, and she spent a year working for its release. She got its release. She went with it to the Texas sanctuary. It had not seen another elephant in 30 years. And when they let it out, there was an elephant in the lake. And they ran towards each other and sprayed each other and splashed in the thing. And it was a year completely worthwhile. Never too late to have a good time. So when we're talking about pledges, pledges to the station, pledges to ourselves, our inner dedication, it's a very powerful time to do that. You know, but even, you know, making one creature happy is strong and resonates throughout all of creation. You know, so whatever our pledge is. So yes, as Karen and I are encouraging and magnetizing, you know, we are in Fun Drive. We love this experiment of us in mutual reception, cahooting, because we're going to have another hour of us together. It's so fun. But we're offering, you know, fun enticements as thank you gifts. But really, it's, again, you're pledging for our radio magic. Or as a listener just chimes in saying, radio waves are akin to smoke of fire circle gatherings, right? Radio waves are, you know, an additional way for us to counsel. This is so increasingly important. And so we are offering enticements. But if you don't, I don't need any enticements. 1-800-439-5732. But we're also offering the Visionary Activist Show tote bag. It's purple, that says, if fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise. And it's cotton. It's really great. You can make friends while you're shopping at the, you know, food co-op. And it's 15 inches. I use mine all the time. It's for a pledge of $60. Yeah, I tote bags are good. They're a little message haiku. So for a pledge of $60 or $15 a month for, you know, whatever that is, you can call 1-800-439-5732. I'm offering two collections from the archives, both aired and not aired. One is Woofy Women of the Earth, Allies, really great, for a pledge of $100 or $10 a month for, you know, that time. And then also the Visionary Activist Show, Myth and Mushrooms, James Hillman and Paul Stamets. Two of the Stamets' things have not been available to the public for a pledge of $100, and all by calling 1-800-439-5732. You can have a tote bag. You can have two collections of downloadable stuff. That's really great. You know, and you can have this station as a place of counsel. You know, and, and you know, as Karen and I were saying backstage, I mean, you know, humans, we're all befoibled, but Pacifica is the goddess of peace, right? And as we, you know, we can do radio magic now and in the next hour and forever. But right now the pattern is Neptune dreams and vision. It's at the Grail Legend degree, is at a 60 degree, you know, very positive, collaborative glide into manifestation relationship to Saturn. So the metaphors are internal dedications right now, just at home in the or in the car or wherever you are, you know, scribble, I'm dedicated to this, you know, and our collective ones to keep this station afloat. And I love that, you know, I've been an admirer of Karen's for, you know, well, 23 years, because she's right the show before me, and, you know, and people, you know, Roy of Hollywood, who replays us on KPFK, was like, oh, you should do a show together. And we are. It was really good.
Here it is.
A spirit of ingenious collaborative cahoots. It's so great. And so we're really pledging to that. And, you know, pledges are telepathic, you know, internal and literal. And may are.
And also.
You know, and what?
No, I'm just saying that the thing I love about radio, because I grew up before people had TVs regularly, you know. So radio is so intimate. It's so, it requires participation. It requires you to do the magic of visioning the imagery that's being put out there for you, of kind of, you become part of it almost immediately, you know, and you kind of have to make the world for yourself of what's going on. You know, people are always like, oh, what do they look like? And I love the intimacy. You know, it's true, you know.
Right.
And I love the intimacy of that, of you kind of feel part of it more than, you know, we all know when we watch TV or watch something, it's there to zone out from. I mean, most of the time it's like, it's kind of a zone out thing. Whereas this is I want to do something, you know. And Paul is like, Paul Stamets, he's a very inspirational speaker. Even if you don't really like mushrooms or the medicine of them or the remediation of them, you feel like running out there and changing the world after you hear him, you know? And so that's a good thing.
Yeah, and it is, well, we get to continue some of these stories next hour, because Karen Sanders, host of Herbal Highway, and Caroline Casey, that's me, visionary activist, we're running the shows together. We're going to, you know, take a brief out, well, keep pledging, and then we'll have a brief, and then we'll start with the next hour show. But yeah, Stamets's work also is for all of us, because it's about how to reach across, you know, the compelling illusion of separateness of, you know, political identity into everyone wants to save bees. And he's got a great story about his right-wing military neighbor who loved his bees, and he was so sad, and Paul helped him save them, and I will tell you that in the next hour. But meanwhile, we have one 2 minutes of pledging to this hour. I hand it to you, Karen.
Okay. Well, please, we're asking you to keep KPFA on the air. We're asking you to be, like, get, like, how rare listener-sponsored radio is, and, you know, I listen because I live in a place that's way out in the middle of nowhere, and I listen to what's called public radio, and I'm like, whoa, okay, not what I thought. And you hear a lot of beholding to sponsors, and that isn't here. So we're asking you for yourself, but for the community, to keep KPFA on the air, and you can get all kinds of stuff. You can get the shows Caroline is talking about. There's all kinds of KPFA swag you can get. There's sweatshirts. You can get, I think it's like $100 to get a hoodie. I love hoodies. There's tote bags. You can get the KPFA tote bag. There's even socks and water bottles and T-shirts. Please pledge to 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732. And www.kpfa.org. And as Caroline said, I have been a admirer of hers for the same amount of time. And I love it because I listen and I realize, you know, we're saying the same thing in just a different voice, you know, just a different palette. That's like, we're often just so in sync with what's happening. And it's just all, you know, everybody has the palette, you know, what color are you using? So
right. No, that's right. What are we painting with? And so just as there are telepathic pledges, interior pledges, our manifesto of dedicated devotion and literal, may our interior dedicated pledges be outwardly expressed by pledging to the quality of collaborative cahooting on this station, and encouraging protective love, you know, to all in danger. You know, again, pledging money can be magic. And we're asking you know, a pledge of $60 for a fabulous tote bag. If fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise. Pledge of $60 or $15, you know, in segments. And also the great Woofy Women, Earth Allies, Visionary Activist Radio Collection, really great, really great. For a pledge of $100, downloadable, because we don't use plastic CDs. And then Mushrooms, Myth and Mushrooms, James Hillman, the first show of the Visionary Activist show, and Paul Stamets talks throughout the years, some of which have not been aired. For a pledge of $100, all by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, or pledging online.